May the Lord help us to commence our worship this evening with hymn 1074. 1074. When, gracious Lord, when shall it be that I shall find my all in thee? The fullness of thy promise prove, the seal of thy eternal love. Hymn 1074.
Together this evening in God's holy word from the book of the Proverbs and chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Every one that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hands join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. The divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresseth not in judgment. The just weight and balance of the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favour is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and in haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instructions of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboureth for himself, his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisper separateth chief friends. The violent man enticeth his neighbour and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise froward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit, and he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and teach us to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, do help us each now to come rightly before thee at the throne of grace. Lord, teach us what we need, and teach us how to pray. Lord, keep us each from a prayer of words alone. Lord, do draw our hearts in real prayer unto thee. We pray, Lord, that there might be a right confession of our sins before thee. Lord, as we would acknowledge thy greatness and our nothingness, Lord, we do pray that we might be humble before thee, Lord, to not think that thou art altogether such a one as ourselves. And yet, Lord, we thank thee, though thou art high, thou dost have respect even unto the lowly. Lord, in mercy do hear our poor prayers as we come before thee this night. Lord, have mercy upon us each. Mercy through blood we make our plea. O God, be merciful to me. We pray, Lord, that we might each have that faith given as we call upon thy name, to believe that with God nothing shall be called impossible. To believe, Lord, that thou art able to do far more than we can ask or even think. Lord, may we not be left to waver. But do, Lord, give us those the believing views of thy greatness, to believe in thy precious promises. Lord, we do pray as we come before thee for thankful hearts. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. And yet how thankless at times we feel to be. Lord, we do not give thee the glory that is due unto thy name. Lord, we do pray that we might acknowledge thy mercy that endureth forever. And be able to confess, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy. Lord, we do pray for those who have less than we do. We pray especially for thy people who suffer, those in poverty, those who are persecuted, those in warfare. and all those in great need at this time. We do pray, Lord, for thy blessing upon thy people even this day. In each gathering of thy people, we pray, Lord, for thy blessing. Pray, Lord, that there might be an outpouring of thy Spirit amongst thy people even this day. Lord, wilt thou not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing? Lord, we deserve not these great things, but we ask in thy mercy that thou wouldst look upon us and be gracious unto us. And remember us here this evening. And Lord, grant that thy Holy Spirit might work amongst us to apply thy word to our hearts, that we might be among those who hear thy word and keep it. And we pray, Lord, for thy forgiveness for anything wrong in the service this morning and the Sunday school this afternoon. We do pray, Lord, that there might be something that remains, some food for our souls, something for us to consider. And Lord, do help us as we are spared to meet once more, once less in thy house. Lord, we are surrounded by thy goodness. We have thy word before us, the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt bless us indeed. May it be like Jabez, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coat. Lord, we do thank thee for thy many mercies in providence. We thank thee for the beautiful weather we've had today. Lord, we thank thee for thy provision for us in the various types of weather and the seasons, that, Lord, we might be truly thankful for these things. Lord, as we see the weather today, we pray that it might be so unto you that fear my name. Shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Lord, do arise in our hearts. Do shine through the gloom. Lord, shine into the darkness of our hearts and lead us into thy truth. Lead us, Lord, each of us in the paths of righteousness, for thy name's sake. And lead us each, Lord, in the way everlasting. Lord, we have read that solemn word, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof are the ways of death. Lord, we do pray that each one of us, without exception, in thy mercy might be found in that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Lord, of which there be few that find it. Lord, we pray that each of us might be among the few. Lord, we have nothing good to bring. We do not deserve these great things. Lord, we do pray that in thy manifold mercies we might each be brought to a hope of eternal life through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Lord, we come before thee this day at a time of a great need in our nation. We pray for our King and the royal family, the Princess of Wales. Remember them in their affliction and Use the treatment for their recovery if it could be thy will. Lord, much more may they know of the good physician who understandeth the disorders of the soul. And may there be a witness to our land in these things. And Lord, we do pray for our country with the general election before us. And Lord, naturally there is much that would cause us to fear. And Lord, we cannot say that we don't deserve thy judgments. Thou hast been merciful, Lord, to us, in spite of falling away. And Lord, do hear the cry of the little remnant. Turn us again and cause thy face to shine upon us. And we shall be saved. Lord, do keep us from further falling into wickedness and further away from thy word. Lord, rather, may there be a turning back to thy word, to those things that are right. Lord, that we might have leaders raised up who have the fear of the Lord in their hearts. We thank thee, Lord, where there seem to be a few who fear thy name. Lord, do uphold them and sustain them. Help them to be a witness. Lord, above all these things we look to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one before whom every knee must bow. Lord, help us to believe thou art on the throne and that all things are in thy hand. Thy eternal thought moves on its undisturbed affairs. Lord, we must pray that thou wilt look upon us in mercy. Lord, we pray that we might be enabled to say Alleluia, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Lord, may there be a witness throughout our land and throughout the whole earth that there is a God in heaven. With all the tumults and troubles in the world, Lord, may many be brought to see there is one higher than the highest. Lord, one who is in complete control. Lord, we do pray especially for the children and the young people, for the many evils that they face in this day. Lord, there be a wall of fire round about, and the glory in the midst. Lord, keep them, keep each one of us, because, Lord, none of us can keep ourselves. May we each be kept by the power of God, kept from grieving thee, kept from those mighty enemies without and the much mightier ones within. Lord, do give us a tender heart, a heart that flees from sin and flees even from the approach of sin. Now, Lord, do help us as we once more turn to thy word. Lord, do keep us and lead us and teach us into thy truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come and thy bright beams arise. Do work mightily in our hearts. You forgive all of our many sins. Make up for those things we have failed to ask for. And do prepare us each for heaven. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 1020. 1020. The castle of the human heart, strong in its native sin, is guarded well in every part by him who dwells within. Hymn 1020.
Upon the Lord for his help, I would ask you to turn to the book of Proverbs and chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. Here we have in this book of the Proverbs great wisdom. Here we have wisdom itself, the Lord Jesus himself speaking to us. Doth not wisdom cry? These are the words of the Lord himself. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogancy, the evil way, the froward mouth do I hate. It behoves us to pay very careful attention when we read of what Almighty God hates. It's a very solemn, serious word that we have before us this evening. It tells us what the fear of the Lord is. Elsewhere, indeed, I think in the following chapter we have this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We have, I think, in chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have I begun in these things? Do we know something of the fear of the Lord? What is the fear of the Lord? Where does it come from? You younger ones, it does not mean to be frightened. It is not a slavish fear. That is not the fear that a slave or a servant would have to do what their master asked them to do in fear of punishment. It is what we call a filial fear. The fear of the Lord is a loving reverence, an affectionate reverence to the Lord. What do you and I know of these things? We have here what it means. The fear of the Lord, that affectionate reverence, that love to him, not wanting to grieve him, not wanting to cause sorrow, not wanting to let him down, not wanting to do what we shouldn't do. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Why do we have this before us? As an expression of the fear of the Lord. Those who fear the Lord will hate evil, because so does their Lord and Master. He hates evil himself. It is completely contrary to himself. It is directly opposite to one who is high and holy. Directly contrary to the Lord Jesus, who, in coming down to this world of sin, lived a life without sin, and yet for sin. He came into this world to and live that perfect life of righteousness, a life without blemish, a life without error, a life without one single sin, perfect. How do you and I, if I can use this word rightly, how do we stack up against this great example? What do we see within ourselves? Pride, yes. Arrogancy, yes. The evil way, yes. The froward mouth, yes. And so we could go on. I'm speaking to myself. I'm not pointing the finger at any of you. But how do we come to this word? Do we have to say, guilty, 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 guilty? Full of pride, full of arrogancy, full of the evil way, full of a froward mouth. These things, says the Lord, do I hate. If we possess the fear of the Lord, it is that which is a gift given to the Lord's people. It's not something we're born with. It's not something that we can earn or deserve, but it is that which is given of Almighty God, the graces of the Spirit, the fear of the Lord. What is the effect? One of which we have here, it is to hate evil. How many of us here feel something of the exceeding sinfulness of sin? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Two things concerning this hatred of evil. We are living in a day when evil is called good, and good is called evil. We are living in a day when we are told that pride is a good thing. What saith the Scriptures? What saith the Lord Himself? It's evil. Arrogancy is a good thing, the evil way. We read of that way which seemeth right unto a man, the ways of death, the froward mouth, willfulness, a continual disobedience, rebellion, wrong words, wrong thoughts, wrong actions. The world says, these are good, don't worry about it. What does the Lord say? He says they're evil, and I hate them. There's no uncertain language for us here. This is very strong language that the Lord uses. We would do well to take heed to what the Scriptures say. Teach us. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The world loves evil. And to come closer, you and I, by nature, left to ourselves, we love evil. We love those things that are wrong. We have no time for those things that are right. No time for the things of God. No time for his word. No time for prayer. And so we could go on. But has there been a change in your little life? Can you see that things are not as they were? There's a cloud over those things you once enjoyed. Everything seems to be under a cloud. You cannot be satisfied with these things, with your sinful ways. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. As the Lord works in the hearts of his people by the Spirit, to see whether gradually or suddenly the sinfulness of sin and these evil things that the Lord hates. We have in chapter 6, verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Another exceedingly strong word, an abomination unto him. What's first? A proud look. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. These seven things are an abomination unto the Lord. How do we stand before these seven things? Is it not guilty seven times over? I would encourage you to read through the book of the Proverbs. We could have read many different chapters this evening that set forth that departing from evil, that wisdom is to depart from evil, all these things that the Lord does hate. We have it so much through this book of wisdom. And wisdom is to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then secondly, concerning this hatred of evil, it's very easy for us to hate the evil that we see in others. It's very easy for us to look upon one who is proud and to hate the evil and these other things. And we can look on others and we can condemn them for what they're doing. But where should we begin? Within. In our own hearts. I was thinking earlier, we spoke of it at tea time, of the first text I had to try to preach from here a few years ago. David and Nathan. Nathan had sinned, and David had sinned, and Nathan comes with this parable of the little ewe lamb. And David was full of indignation. How could this thing be done? The one who's done this shall surely die. He saw the fault in others, but he didn't see it in himself. Nathan says to David, "Thou art the man. Thou art the man." It's very easy to look around at others, even in chapel perhaps, and say, yes, this one's a bit too bright, a bit too proud. I don't like the way this one speaks. And so we could go on. But thou art the man. A wonderful verse that was. David said, "I have sinned And Nathan said, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." But back to our text. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not to look in judgment upon others. There's one judge before whom we must all stand. There's one judge, and it's not you or I. There's one who will judge the world in righteousness, and it's not us. We will be judged. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. Do I hate? The fear of the Lord will show us the sinfulness of sin, the evil of these things, and we won't be able to sin as we did before. There will be that change. We cannot walk as we did before. There is that witness in these things of sin and the grief that sin causes to a holy God who says, "These things do I hate. These things are an abomination unto me." What does the fear of the Lord do in the heart of those in whom the Lord is working? It brings that desire to flee from sin, that desire to be kept from sin, that desire to walk worthy, to walk humbly, to walk rightly before the Lord. In the King's highway of holiness, what did we read of in Proverbs chapter 16? Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. It gives examples, practical things, the weights and the balances and so on, of walking in the fear of the Lord. It just comes to my mind, my late pastor used to say, speak of a tale of a young servant girl many years ago, and the Lord worked in her heart, and they said to her, "What evidence have you got of the fear of the Lord?" And she said, "Before the Lord worked in my heart, I used to sweep very well, where everyone could see. Afterwards, I swept just as well where they couldn't see." Well, that's just an example, the fear of the Lord, the effect that it has. Yeah, but in Proverbs 16, we have that way of righteousness, the uprightness, the highway. This is it, verse 17. In the previous verse, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than silver? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to look within, and to desire, by the grace of God and through his help, to depart from evil, to walk in the ways of uprightness, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, in the froward mouth. do that I hate. You know, I was thinking in, I think it was the first hymn that we sung, 1074. It's a good hymn, isn't it? But you know, it made me think, do we really know what we're singing? I speak to myself. When we had that one line in verse 2, and cast the world and sin behind. Do you want to? Is it your desire to? Is it really your desire, your prayer, that you might cast the world and sin behind? Your dearest sins, your besetting sins, those things, those secret sins that you love. That we might each be enabled to say these things from our heart. Thee, only thee, I fain would find, and cast the world and sin behind. There is that conflict between the new man of grace and the old man of sin. I was looking at it in the vestry before the service, what we have in the Epistle to the Romans. And how many of us can in measure come in with the words of the Apostle? O wretched man, O wretched woman, O wretched boy, O wretched girl, that I am. It's me, Lord. It's me, I'm full of sin, full of evil, full of uncleanness, full of pride, full of arrogancy, full of the evil way and the froward mouth, and all these other things. O wretched man that I am. What does he say? There dwelleth in me no good thing. He had nothing to boast of. Pride has something to boast of. Pride is thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Pride is taking something to ourselves that we shouldn't. And we need to be kept from pride. Very clear. How exceedingly sinful, how exceedingly grievous to Almighty God the sin of pride is. So often when we have these examples, these catalogues of sins, various sins in the Word of God, pride is there. It robs the glory from God. And man would take the glory to himself. And man would seek to take that which is not his own, depend upon himself, depend upon his own works. Of course, one of the great examples in Scripture, the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee prayed with himself, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, even as this publican. Look at this man here, how pitiful. What a sorry state he's in. But which one went down to his house justified? It wasn't the one who was proud in heart. It was the one who was humbled in the dust. It was the one who was could not lift up his eyes so much as to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Not the other, not the Pharisee. The humble, those that walk in pride. It's the account we have, a very striking account of Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel, where we read of one there that was so lifted up with pride, with his own importance, and all that he had done, and all that he was going to do, and all his greatness. We read these things in Daniel chapter 4. He walked in his palace. Is not this great Babylon that I, I have built. It's big I. By the might of my power, for the honour of my majesty, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be humbled. This word is to you. The kingdom is departed. You remember how he went out as a beast of the field. At the end of the days, his understanding returned and he blessed the Most High. What does he say? All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways are judgment. Listen to this, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He is able to bring them down. He is able to humble them. Those that walk in pride, the fear of the Lord, it is to hate evil and arrogancy. Again, thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. We read in the, is it the Acts of Theudas? He thought himself to be somebody. How is it with each of us? Do we think ourselves to be somebody? Do we think something of ourselves? Do we think great things of ourselves? What's the example of the Apostle Paul? He did as he was. Among those who persecuted the church, he thought great things of himself then. The Lord in his mercy humbled him, brought him right down, so that at one point he could say, though I be nothing, how many of us truly can say we feel to be nothing? It's in our nature to want to be something. But as we're born in sin and shape and iniquity, that which is of ourself will be nothing else but sin. If we are brought to feel our need of a Saviour and the righteousness of Christ, we will have to be brought to nothing in ourselves. No hope in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasures of my mind are sin and death and hell to Christ. For help I fly, the friend of sin is lost. That is our refuge. That is our hiding place. In the against such sin, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, the fear of the Lord, it is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy in the evil way, in the froward mouth, do I hate. Well, we mention the Apostle Paul, but you know, what is our best example? What is the only perfect example of walking a life of humility on this earth? Of course, the Lord Jesus himself. What do we read of concerning the Lord Jesus in Philippians chapter 2? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, none whatsoever, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. I repeat those three precious words. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is our example, the great and glorious example of the Lord Jesus, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth, not like our froward mouths. There was no pride in him, but all humility. And even in those deep, deep waters that he passed through, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. He humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord, looking to the Lord, depending upon him, to seek to walk in the right way, to seek to walk following his example in those ways that he has set before us in his word, that way that he himself has walked. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And, well, we have here in this verse a great catalogue of sins. We have in various parts of Scripture all these different things that are an abomination unto the Lord, all these sins that he hates. And make no mistake, each one of us, we're guilty of all of them. He that offends in one point is guilty in all. Not one of us can plead not guilty to these charges. But we don't leave it there. The Lord Jesus is more full of grace than we are of sin. The Lord Jesus, in his sovereign grace, it abounds over sin. We read this, where sin abounded. Does your sin seem to abound like a great mountain looming up before you, bringing you into darkness? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What did we sing of in the hymn just now? The Lord Jesus himself, triumphant over sin, victorious over Satan, that castle of the human heart, yes, with pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth, is guarded well by Satan himself. He calls the place his own. But Jesus, think on these words, but Jesus, as we have in the word of God, but God. You think of all the great mountain of your sins, does your flesh and your heart fail? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You think of those times when we have those two words, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. You think of this, all our sins that abound. He saw us, ruined in the fall, yet loved us, notwithstanding all. As this hymn says, in spite of unbelief and pride and self and Satan's art, the Lord Jesus himself is victorious. He wins the heart. He has brought them, brought his people with blood. He has paid the price for every single one of their sins. He has made intercession for the transgressors, for the 50-pence sinner, there's nothing to pay. For the 500-pence sinner, there's nothing to pay. For all those who come unto him, he will not be cast out. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth. You do, I hate. May we lay these things to heart this evening. May we consider our own walk. Look within. Look in our own hearts. But to see in it all. Not to despair. Be not dismayed. I am thy God, who is mighty to save, who is full of compassion, who is more full of grace than we of sin. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Kingham will administer the Lord's Supper after this service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Chapman will preach in the evening. Let us close with hymn 916, 916. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, turn thy eyes to Jesus' blood. Nothing short of this can heal thee, seal thy peace, or do thee good. Seek no healing but from Gilead's sovereign balm. Hymn 916.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.